Hi, this is Jay Ferguson at Grace, and as you may know, I've been writing a blog for about 5 years now, since 2015, and I was talking to a mom the other day, and she said, I read your blog, but it would be great if you would record it, maybe in a podcast format, so that I could listen to it while I was working or driving or what have you. And I thought, sure, I'll try that. And so I decided Christmas would be a good time to try it. And I was thinking about my Christmas blog this year. I was thinking about my own family who are coming to visit us and my family history. And I was also thinking about Jesus's family history. You know, in Matthew 1, it lays out Jesus's family history and his genealogy. And I was thinking about that and kind of juxtaposing it against my own. And it was kind of inspired me to write this blog, which I call Family History. Christmas is a time for getting the whole family together. For many, that can be both a good and a bad thing. Let's face it, for many of us, our families are crazy. Some people tell me I have a loud voice. I come by it honestly. My dad's family are big, boisterous people. At 6'3", I'm short compared to my uncles. For years, Christmas was just about each one of us talking louder and louder about whatever we were trying to say, trying to overtalk everyone else in the room. And my uncles were rough. I distinctly remember one Christmas day when one of my uncles threw my dad through my newly married other uncle's dining room wall. I remember my newlywed aunt crying about how her house was destroyed as my dad started climbing out of the wall. It was absolutely insane. And I was thinking that no matter how interesting and colorful family gatherings can get, it would be pretty tough to beat Jesus's family. In the book of Matthew, the Christmas story begins with the genealogy of Jesus. I used to skim that genealogy, zipping through all the begats and all the names that didn't really mean anything to me, on my way to the good story. I've come to realize, though, that the genealogy is the good stuff. In fact, the whole Christmas story, the whole gospel, is summed up in those first 17 verses, providing encouragement to you and me. The first thing one notices about that genealogy is that it includes people who weren't to be included in genealogies in the culture of the day. People like women who didn't have a voice in that society, and people who were Gentiles and therefore considered unclean in Jewish culture. Yet Rahab and Ruth and Tamar are all featured prominently on that list. And about Rahab and Tamar, Rahab, you'll recall, was a prostitute. She guided the spies of Israel into Jericho when they arrived and hid them from her people. Tamar disguised herself as a prostitute in order to get her father-in-law, Judah, to sleep with her so she could produce offspring from their bloodline. King David is featured in the genealogy, which on its face might seem impressive, and it is, but for all the wrong reasons. David is listed as begetting Solomon, quote, by the wife of Uriah. Matthew wants to remind you that David had one of his most loyal friends and lieutenants killed, so that he could either, in the best case, commit adultery, or in the worst case, rape Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. From that unholy union, Solomon was born, also among Jesus' progeny. Solomon, by the way, was a polygamist with 1,000 wives. This doesn't even include Abraham, who tried to pimp out his wife twice in order to save his own skin, Jacob, who stole his uncle's sheep and his brother's birthright, Judah, who tried to have his own brother killed, and some of the worst kings in the history of Israel. So, if you're keeping score at home, in Jesus' family, you've got prostitution, incest, murder and attempted murder, rape, theft, adultery, and polygamy. But that's not all. After the deportation from Babylon, the list of characters just becomes obscure. Anybody know Eliud? Azor? What did Zadok do? We don't even know anything about Jacob. father of Joseph, Jesus' grandfather, for Pete's sake. Now, I'm sure, like me, you have some skeletons in your family closet, but no matter how jacked up your family may be, it couldn't possibly hold a candle to Jesus' family. And most of us keep our skeletons safely in the closet. We don't trot them out on our resume for all the world to see. Yet, for the Son of God, they are the lead-off point. Whores, thieves, killers, rapists, adulterers, outsiders, and nobodies. Front and center of the gospel. Why is that? Why are they there? First, to show us all that no matter who you think you are or what you think you've done, you're never beyond the blood of Jesus Christ. If God can bring redemption from this motley crew, imagine what He can do through you. Whether you're stuck right now in the throes of addiction or codependence or depression or anxiety or whatever, it doesn't matter. Even right now, in the midst of those things, being washed clean by Jesus' blood is yours for the asking. And if you've been washed clean of that blood, you are clean indeed, no matter what was or what may still be on your resume. The healing, cleansing, stain of Christ's blood is permanent and never washes away. This dysfunctional cast of characters that is Jesus' bloodline brings hope in another way. For many of us, myself included, our family history is sullied and somewhat sordid. But just like Jesus' bloodline, no matter what your family history looked like before, redemption is possible through you. By God's grace and Jesus' blood, you can be the turning point where all of this ends and where generations of blessing begin. I've written here about Orville Rogers, a godly, generous man and a hero of mine who gave millions of dollars away and left dozens of children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren who love and are following Jesus. Orville's father left him as a child, part of a cycle of dysfunction. My mother-in-law's father left her family when she was young, too, through her commitment to Jesus and dogged determination to stay on her knees and walk with Him. She has children and grandchildren who love Jesus too. This can be you and your legacy as well. Stay with it. Finally, Jesus' family tree shows us that no matter how much you think you toil in obscurity, in that dead-end job or position of service where no one sees you and no one cares, the God of the universe sees. And just as Jesus brought salvation to the world through the likes of Eliud and Azor and Jacob and a scared, unmarried teenage girl, He can and will bring redemption to the world around you, through you, if you'll stay faithful and holy and true. The whole story of the gospel is God making world changers through the unnoticed. For better or worse, our families are often the lens through which we see the best and worst of man, the unconditional love of God, and the beauty from ashes of the gospel. I hope you and your family have an incredible and wonderful Christmas. And I hope you remember that ultimately, how we raise our kids is not about success. It's about obedience and love. Their joy, their contentment, their peace is tied into how they love and how they walk alongside Jesus Christ in their relationship with Him. We are proud and honored to be able to partner with you in training them up and preparing them for that endeavor. We love you.